Forecast from the Weather Channel, looking at 1 to 3 inches of snowfall through tonight. A low near 25 sustains
power. News Talk 620, WWNR.
WWNR, Beckley.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620, WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, this is Head On for a Wednesday night. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I tender you my sincerest apologies for my absence last night. Sometimes things happen, and there was a need to have one of my youngins make a little trip to the hospital. Everything is okay, but I stayed home and stayed home with the other three little ones. And that necessitated my not being here. Again, I apologize, and I'll try to keep it from happening very often. But I also checked in, and that was a great rerun. The night of Sisters by Lynn Cheney, author. You can just imagine Lynn sitting there at the typewriter, pecking away, typing. Little Mary Cheney over her shoulder going, "Mommy, what's a lesbian?" You'll find out later, honey. But and some nights, though, and yes, to a certain extent, this has to do with the fact that I wasn't here last night, so I'm just bubbling up with information and stuff to tell you about, and can't wait to hear from you either. But some nights, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. And this is one of those evenings. There is a wealth of information from inside West Virginia, from outside West Virginia. The tongue-splitting bill is making progress through the West Virginia legislature. The tongue-splitting bill, 2,000 people in the Western world have a split tongue, none of them in West Virginia. No tongue-splitting going on in West Virginia, but we got to earn that per diem somehow down in Charleston. So the tongue-splitting bill is cruising along. We got that. And not only are they worried about tongue-splitting, they're worried about movie pirating. I don't know. Maybe the movie pirating is being done by people with split tongues. And some examples of common sense legislation, stuff that's worth working on. Guckert Gannon Gate, which simply will not go away and shouldn't go away. This may wind up being some sort of gay blackmail story inside the White House, and it's just amazing. The one thing that got me first, and I really appreciate the efforts of Vivian down at Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and the efforts of folks at Coal River Mountain Watch in finding me this old story, because I didn't touch on it Monday, and it deserves to be touched on. Headline from the Associated Press, a couple of days old now. China mine blast kills 203. China mine blast kills 203. And I don't care if you speak Mandarin or English or Kimraig. There is an international language of suffering for those whose loved ones die in the pursuit of almighty coal. And the wails of a mother waiting at the drift mouth in Raleigh County or some other county in West Virginia, and the wails of a mother standing at the drift mouth in Fushin, China, or the wails of a mother waiting at the entrance to the mine in Wales or Germany or Poland. They are all an international language of anguish that comes with the pursuit of coal. But more than anything else that grabbed me out of this story. 203 people are dead. 28 injured miners were in hospital as of Tuesday. 12 were missing as of the publication date of this story on Tuesday. Fushan is one of China's oldest coal mining regions, and many of its mines have already been depleted, according to state media reports. Miners must tunnel far underground to reach coal seams, and the risk of explosion due to methane gas is very high. And it was the deadliest reported by the Chinese government since 1949. 1942, China's northeast, where Fushan is located, was the site of the world's deadliest mining disaster when an accident killed 1,549 miners in Manchuria. 166 miners had died in Shaanxi in November. And in large part, it's because, well, they don't have quite the safety standards and practices of, say, the United Mine Workers of America. But that doesn't mean that they're bad safety standards, of course. And we have none other than former West Virginia head football coach Don Nealon to confirm that for us. And this is what I am grateful to everyone for finding for me. From the Charleston Gazette, Monday, January 20th, 2003, mentioning the fact that Don Nealon had been made chief spokesman for Fiends of Coal. The Fiends of Coal. And he made a speech at the West Virginia Coal Association's annual symposium in 2003. And this is what I thought of when I saw the story of the China mining disaster. Gosh darn it, the best defense is a good offense, he said of the public relations effort, Fiends of Coal. You guys are 10 or 11 and 0, and everyone talks like you're 5 and 6. When you're winning, we've got to let people know. I'm sure at some point he probably mentioned punting. But he really not only jammed his foot in his mouth, he managed to wedge the other one in there too. And when I thought of those mothers and sisters and daughters and wives whose lives are now essentially ended because of the deaths of their loved ones, 203 of them and counting, in that godforsaken hole in the ground in China, I thought of what Don Nealon said. Let's get some of these doggone regulations eliminated, or at least made sound so guys can mine coal, he said. I don't exactly know the regulations, but I'm smart enough to know that in China they mine for $6 a ton, and we have got to be able to compete with them. Let's get some of these doggone regulations eliminated so West Virginia miners can mine coal at $6 a ton. I used to think Don Nealon was a decent guy. But, you know, this really does certify him as a walking, talking, breathing, piece of miserable hooey. There. Hooey. Hooey works. Hooey works. I'm smart enough to know that in China they mine for $6 a ton. Tell you what, Donnie! Let's get you a little cloth cap and a dinner bucket and a pick, and you can go see what happens for $6 a ton in China. Or maybe we can get you a translator there in Fushan province, and you can tell them that tell the wives and the mothers and the sisters that thanks to the fact that they got rid of those doggone regulations, they're mining coal more efficiently than us. Never mind the fact that, you know, why there should be some need for American coal to compete with Chinese coal. Like, what? We're gonna burn Chinese coal at the John Amos power plant? But you see, he was hired, Nealon was, as a spokesman. And speak indeed he does. And you know what? He wasn't lying, and he wasn't a loose cannon, and he wasn't running off at the mouth. He was speaking for his masters, people like Don Blankenship and that reprehensible Rainey character, when he said, "Let's get some of these doggone regulations eliminated, or at least made sound so guys can mine coal." Disgusting. Just plain disgusting. Because, you see, Massey would like nothing better than to have the Chinese coal mining system. What's 200 or so dead miners? No big deal. There's more. They're draft animals in Massey world. And there's always two more for every one that goes away. I thought about this, and it was just stunning, and it was stultifying. And you need to understand that that is the mindset. The mindset that brought about 203 dead in China is the same mindset that runs Massey. And, of course, China's mining operations have horrific toxicity problems from drainage and runoff. I don't know if they've gotten around to mountain range removal yet. But you'll notice you haven't seen any press releases out there about Don Blankenship, who can write checks to steal West Virginia's government from it. You haven't seen any press releases with that great big Mount Doom logo from Massey at the head of it saying, "Massey sends experts to dig out dead miners." You haven't seen any press releases saying Massey sends, or Don Blankenship sends, $3.5 or $5 million, or whatever he spent to buy himself his pudgy little black-robed monkey in Charleston. You haven't seen it? No, sorry. So just pay attention, these people. We're good corporate citizens. No, they're not. This is coal the way Massey would like to mine it here. Do we have the nerve to rein them in? I don't know. The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And I should remind you that the show is archived by Ben Birch out at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So you can go back and listen to any portion that you may or may not miss. And it's there almost, very promptly after the end of the show. So by all means, it's a wonderful resource. Make use of it. Let's take a break. When we come back, your calls. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
For it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota, triple your rebate sale. only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Tundras, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR financing. And get a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sales. Triple your savings. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 World Acres Drive in Beckley. On select models with approved credit, limited term financing. Dealer retains all rebates and incentives. $3,750 rebate on 05 summer ends 2/28/05.
Ladies, the clock has been reset and the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members. Services you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you seek, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's 22 minutes after 7 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, and I think we should go straight to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
It's better tonight than it was last night. I had to refrag my hard drive, plus reinstall all the drivers for my peripherals, and talk about running around with your hair on fire. That'll do it for you.
Without a doubt.
You know, you were mentioning the working conditions of the coal miners and things like that. And I was just thinking, you know, back in ancient Egypt, I dare say they probably had some safer standards for their workers who built those monuments, because after all, even the pharaoh realized that weak men could lift no stones and the dead could carry none.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know, I was just thinking about that. Listen, I've got something for you. You probably know about this already, but I just wanted to share it with you, if I may, please, sir.
Do please.
H.R. 310.
All right.
It passed the House, 389-38.
That's a gut stomping.
And that has to do with what is said over the television and radio, as you well know.
Oh, is this, yeah, the great big scary decency bill?
Yes, sir. And it's liable to pass the Senate. And, of course, I have filed protests with everybody I know, you know, for what good it'll do. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but those dirty words are going to get us. I mean, heaven only knows what hearing a dirty word could do to our children.
Well, you know, it all depends on what your operational definition of the word filth is.
Oh.
And with me, when you misinform people like Mr. Limbaugh and Michael Wiener Savage and you become the ministers of disinformation, you know, I find that a little more offensive than a few words that have been slated into the realm of expletives and obliteratives. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. When, you know, when that jug-eared lout comes on TV and talks about freedom's on the march, that's obscene.
It is to me too. And you know, and I'm sure as a father, and a very good father, because I can tell that you are, that you would much rather have control over your television set and your radio than some lawmaker in Washington.
Right.
And you know, I would prefer to have that same type of control. I mean, we have the beast ship, we have all kinds of codes and things like that. And these people who say they don't want government to get involved in their lives, well, they're passing this bill that's going to cause everybody to go out and get fingerprinted and DNA'd, and that's pretty invasive. And now they're trying to tell us what we can listen to and what we can't. I mean, hey, Dr. Goebbels, I'm sure wherever you are, you'd love to hear about this.
If there's any happiness to be had in hell, you know, he's chuckling on the spit right now. Because we thought we wiped him out. No, we just put him aside for a better day, I suppose.
But you know, the whole thing to these guys, it seems as though, and I watched C-SPAN today because Mr. Ray Hall was on there, and he gave a very moving. He sponsored a resolution honoring the death of the former Syrian prime minister who was killed in that bomb Monday.
Yeah, the Lebanese prime minister. Yeah.
Yes, the Lebanese. Right.
And, Rafiki Hariri. Harari.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so basically before that, they had the debate, and one guy was referring to himself, debated with H.R. 310. He said, well, I am the Prince of Prudes, when Waxman of California said that he was being very prudish about this. But I think what people don't realize, my dear friend, is that these things are inroads that these people are making. And, you know,
well, it used
they
to
don't
be,
realize what they're giving up and letting these people take away from them.
It used to be, Jim, that whenever you heard something about this, someone would inevitably bring up the idea of the slippery slope, or the other analogy was the camel's nose under the tent.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Today, not only his nose went under the tent, half the body and two of the humps did, I believe.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And what all of this is, Jim, you've got to understand, part of it is voting for a bill like this is motivated by the same thing that makes otherwise decent lawmakers vote for ignorant, stupid, pig-headed laws like the anti-flag-burning amendment, okay? And they do that because it costs them no political capital, and they can go home wrapped in the flag and say, see, I'm protecting freedom. And
that's right. And
the same thing is operating here. The other side of it, however, is the fact that, every time you see one of these bills pass, what you are seeing is a confession, an abject confession from the fundamentalist religion industry right that their churches are absolute failures.
Now, you know, as I understand it, the governing laws concerning obscenity basically are based on one principle, something that would appeal to the prurient interest of a deviant group.
Right.
I think that's the way the Supreme Court handled it.
Or, yeah, that's pretty close, and that's hand in glove with the I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it.
Basically, this law will give these people carte blanche to just anything they don't like.
Right, and the charge alone is enough to destroy someone.
But what really slays me the very most about it is this, the H word, the hypocrisy word.
Yeah.
Because these people, when you look at their lives and the way they conduct their affairs, some of these guys, I mean, half of them can't even get a credit card in their own name.
Well, and some of that goes to this Gannon Guckert gate thing with the phony White House correspondent who turned out to be a
throw softballs at McClellan.
Yeah, but now it turns out he was a gay prostitute. And
I'm sorry, Bob, but you come again on that one.
I don't like to talk about subjects like that, and you never mind. The guy's a gay prostitute. A gay prostitute was allowed within, what, 10 feet of the president and allowed to ask him questions. Now, I'm not hammering on anybody in that line of work.
I understand.
I'm not hammering on being gay. But
oldest profession in the world.
But this guy had access on a daily basis
to the president or his mouthpiece.
Right. And now it turns out it's being reported by Raw Story that Slippery Scotty McClellan himself may well be gay. And what we have here, and it's being noted in some corners, what we have here, Jim, is hypocrisy in its rarest form. These are people who came out and used sexual preference in order to get themselves a president in office, when in fact, what was the phrase for those in the concentration camps who turned on their own and served as enablers for the Nazis? Sonderkommando, wasn't it?
Well, they were basically picked to carry the bodies into the ovens.
Yeah, and that's what you... Apparently, you've got a White House full of these people. The chairman of the RNC, Ken Mellman, gay. Scotty McClellan, probably gay. What was that? There's dozens of them. Well, and I don't care if they are or aren't, but it is the fact that they are that they are willing to engage in hypocrisy on this level.
And I guess, of course, these people are non-practicing gay people.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this.
So you've just created a tsunami that's just washed over me when I heard that.
Well, I mean, this Gannon Guckert guy ran an escort service.
You mean
MilitaryStudsM4M.com.
Really?
Yeah. And they've tried to scrub the internet of everything he did. There are America blog. A guy named John Aravosis uncovered nude photographs of this Gannon guy in all his glory.
But you know, Bob, look back on history in the 50s. Who were two of the greatest persecutors of gay people?
Oh, heavens to Betsy! J. Edgar Hoover and Roy Cohn.
And Roy Cohn. And you know, I just wonder what you know. I don't know if you ever saw the movie called Citizen Cohn.
Yes, I did.
Well, remember when Roy Cohn was dying of AIDS in the hospital, and these ghosts, people whom he had destroyed in his past, would come up to him. And finally, one just came up to him and said, "Mr. Cohn, have you no sense of your own mortality?"
I know.
A gay who
it's
persecuted
just, it's,
gays.
It's pitiful all the way around.
A Jew who persecuted other Jews. I don't understand it, and I swear to God, what scares me so much is the fact that this stuff is coming back, and I thought that we had learned our lesson.
Well, Jim, what's even more disturbing, there is information to suggest that this is all tied in with the Valerie Plame outing. This Gannon guy had access to internal White House documentation.
Now, who is Valerie Plame?
The wife of Joseph Wilson, the CIA agent.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Okay, yeah. They out. Oh,
this thing has real explosive potential if they will bother to pick it up in the media. But so far, it's mostly limited to blogging with some cursory mention by people like David Korn and Howard Kurtz. We got to roll though, Jim. I'm late for the break. Let's see. Now, when we come back, your phone calls. If you're on hold, please stay with me. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. We've got a line open 252-6200 outside Beckley 800-620-9967. We'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Fayette County Delegate Tom Luises wants to keep utilities from using the standard rate so customers pay only for gas, electricity, and water they actually use. He says that in current practice, consumers get charged for 1,500 gallons of water, even though they only use 500. He says his measure would only let utilities charge for what is used and no more. Fellow Fayette County Delegate David Perry has introduced legislation that would change the traditional yellow signs, crossing signs near school zones, to lime green. That would draw more attention. Another bill he's introduced would make Good Friday a holiday in both the public and private sectors. What a boss says about a former employee would be protected from civil lawsuits. In a bill being considered by the House of Delegates, pro-labor delegates tried to change that bill during yesterday's floor session, but were unsuccessful. The bill would grant employers immunity when sharing job-related information with another business where the former employee is trying to get a job. The bill would protect what employers say about the former worker's conduct. A state senator wants to see a citizen review panel that would oversee the operations of Child Protective Services. CPS has been the center of controversy after that 5-year-old boy under its care froze to death late last month in an unheated house in Staniford. Monongalia County Democrat John Blair Hunter is proposing the Department of Health and Human Resources appoint a citizens review panel to recommend changes to the secretary, governor, and legislature on specific issues of child abuse and neglect. That's the news forecast for the rest of this evening. Cloudy with rain showers. They could turn to light snow showers. Much colder tonight, low around 20. And then for Thursday, partly cloudy, slight chance of morning snow showers, then just cloudy and cold, but rain and snow showers back by afternoon, miles high only around 35. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
New Jersey moved a step closer to approving its first minimum wage increase in 6 years on Monday. The state Senate voted 26 to 10 in favor of raising the wage from the federal minimum of $5.15 per hour to $7.15 per hour. The 10 dissenting votes were all cast by Republicans who are concerned that the increase will cost the state jobs. Senate Democrats argue that increasing the wage is the only way to help New Jersey's working poor make ends meet. The wage will jump to $6.15 per hour in October 2005, followed by a second increase in October 2006. The minimum wage bill was proposed by acting New Jersey Governor Richard J. Cody during his State of the State address.
Organized labor supporting Bush on Bush's air pollution legislation, that unlikely occurrence is happening. Bill Cunningham of Unions for Jobs and the Environment says a group of union presidents from the United Mine Workers, Teamsters, Boilermakers, Electrical Workers, Utility Workers, and the Transportation Communications International Union are calling on Democrats on the Senate Environment Committee to back the Bush plan because, Cunningham says, it's a reasonable reduction of air pollution while still protecting jobs.
We're supporting the bill because it calls for rather dramatic reductions in pollutants and creates jobs at the same time. I don't know if you say that's in support of the Bush administration. Well, maybe you might say that, but basically we're calling for some rather dramatic reductions and think that's the responsible thing to do.
Environmental groups oppose Bush's plan, which includes allowing power plants that pollute to buy pollution credits from plants that have reduced emissions further than required. The Senate committee is expected to act on Bush's air pollution bill today.
Striking workers at Garlock Sealing Technologies in New York are meeting today to hear a new contract offer. The bargaining committee for the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Lodge 588, met with Garlock officials on Monday. An IAM representative says they came out of the meeting without some of the concessions workers want, but enough to justify a contract revote. The workers rejected the latest offer because they were unhappy with an 80-cent per hour pay cut, changes in benefits, elimination of sick days, and work shifts that could change weekly. Garlock officials have threatened to close the plant if concessions aren't met. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. According to a new report in the journal Child Development, a mother's work schedule may have a major impact on her child's developmental skills. Half the mothers studied worked full-time but odd hours, such as evening or rotating shifts. The children of those mothers tend to perform much worse than children of mothers who work traditional daytime hours. The study speculates that because women who work daytime hours are more likely to enroll their children in daycare, that could have a major impact on the developmental rift.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's about 21 minutes before 8 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. And right before we go back to the phones, I wanted to share something with you. I told you that the archiving going on at WhiteRoseSociety.org is of inestimable value. I'm hearing from people all over the world. Got my first letter from England, which is pretty cool, and I wanted to share a little bit with you. A gentleman named Stephen writes in and says, I live in England, and I find it wholly reassuring and energizing to hear so many people not afraid to speak out against the Bush government. He says, I think it's a shame when Americans are given the impression that the whole world despises them in other countries. I'm British, and that's absolutely not true. We love Americans just the same as we always did. It's just the Bush government we can't stand. Oh, and a little bit of reluctant disdain for voting for him again. He goes on, and a very trenchant observation, to hear the media, or more accurately, what passes for media, you are given the impression falsely that all Americans are 100% behind the Bush Cosa Nostra. That all Americans cannot be persuaded away from this pseudo-patriotic call to arms to defend a perceived freedom from an army of immoral and unstoppable 10-foot-tall satanic demons. That's pretty much the way we've characterized them, isn't it? He goes on, he says, isn't that the American dream that the world in its entirety is inherently evil and America and only America is the shining light on the hill? Unfortunately, this is not a Hollywood movie, and history is not dictated by Mel Gibson, as much as some would like it to be. The United States is neither the first, the oldest, or the largest democracy. He's correct, of course. The Greeks were the first, followed by the Iroquois Confederacy, also known as the Six Nations here on the North American continent. And their democracy went back 800 years. After this came democracy in Switzerland, roughly 700 years ago. And he says, I dare say there are others in history. Well, India is the largest democracy currently. All true. Most of which is absolutely unknown by the average American. We're it. We're the only democracy in the world. We invented it, and now we're uninventing it, I suppose. But it is great. It is great to hear from folks like Stephen, and nice to know other folks, you know, get it, even if a lot of us don't. Let's go back to the phones. Ben Birch is with us from WhiteRoseSociety.org. Good evening, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I've got some good news.
Really?
Yeah. It appears that the Justice Department has actually convicted every one of the terrorists that had anything to do with 9/11. And the reason I know this is because the very first thing that Gonzalez is doing as Attorney General, his number one priority is reinstating an obscenity case that was thrown out of federal court.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you couldn't be wasting time on that if you hadn't taken care of all the pressing business, could you?
No, and I know this case pretty well because I have a good friend who's the legal editor for Adult Video News, and so I heard about this whole thing from the get go, and yeah, the stuff that they're trying to call obscene is pretty gross.
I can imagine.
And I don't need to have it described here, but the point is, don't we have anything better to spend millions of taxpayer dollars on?
Well, didn't Tommy Chong just get out of prison?
Yeah, well, I think it was about 8 months ago, but yeah.
Yeah, I was reading today where he and Cheech Marin are plotting a couple of new movies. Martha Stewart gets out in a day or so.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, it turns out that not one single successful prosecution was mounted by the Bush administration against any terrorists?
Not even one. Not even one. They haven't prosecuted the very first one. And, you know, and which is kind of ridiculous considering that we claim to have them all in Gitmo.
Oh, it's astonishing. And meanwhile, if you listen to the right-wing megaphone, they refer to the Spanish as those sissy capitulating Spaniards. You've heard something along those lines.
Oh, I have.
Right. They have convicted dozens of people concerned not only with the Madrid bombing, but they've even charged some people involved with 9/11.
Right.
But they're sissies.
The Germans have, too.
Yeah.
We're the only nation that doesn't seem to care whether 3,000 people died on 9/11 2001.
We'll
use that as an excuse to go off and bomb every country that we think we can get a dollar out of if we steal their natural resources. But we've really basically just given Osama bin Laden a free pass.
Without a doubt. And what happened a couple of days ago? George Bush walked by this 30-foot hole in Beirut and found a reason to attack Syria in the bottom of it?
And, you know, what is really occurring here is George Bush is cementing the Arab world together against us.
Yeah, for the first time since maybe the first generation after the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Yeah. We are seeing the Arab world actually coming together. So I guess he is a uniter, not a divider. But, you know, honestly, really, I would much rather he hadn't united this particular group of people to want to see us all dead.
That's pretty high on my list, too. But, I mean, it does remain a fact, Ben. The Shia and the Sunni have largely been at each other's throats ever since the assassination of Ali, I believe it was, who was the nephew of the Prophet.
Right.
And that sect became the Shia. The other sect that followed, I believe, his uncle, who was the caliph in Baghdad, became the Sunni. And they have hated themselves from that day to this.
And that, I think, has been one of the reasons that they haven't been able to unite against us until now. Now we've created something they hate more.
Yeah.
We have created. We have become what the radicals were saying we were. You know, we have become the great Satan. We have come into their country and we are just killing indiscriminately. There are several stories recently of contractors who quit their jobs and came home from Iraq because they said we took a convoy across Iraq and the guards we had hired were just shooting children. Just kicking them off.
For the fun of it.
For the fun of it. They were held up in traffic.
And while we're at it, Ben, I read the same story. These were not some sort of kumbaya singing, daisy chain making, lily livered liberals that quit their jobs.
Oh, no. These were ex-Marines.
Yeah, captains from the Army.
Yeah.
Special Forces
Marines,
guys.
Army and you know, these, we are committing war crimes on a daily basis in Iraq, and it is sickening me.
And we cannot, will not be called to heel, because it goes back to the business from Thucydides' Melian Dialogues. Great countries do what they will, small countries do what they must.
I agree. Well, you know, I really think that, you know, we may have attacked our Syracuse here.
Yes.
You know, we're going to wind up with our, you know, basically with an army in the field that we have neither the resources to support nor to withdraw.
Well, so good that you would bring up Syracuse, because the fact is there is so much parallel between that war and this one, because Athens did start out with a great, and of course it was all Athens.
Right.
But they brought in a little island country here who sent some rowers, and a little island country there who sent some hoplites. But it was pretty much Athens's doing.
Right.
And they went to Syracuse, got bogged down in Syracuse, and eventually got themselves slaughtered by a coalition that had risen up against them because their tyranny could no longer be tolerated.
And it was the end of the Athenian democracy.
Yes, it was.
And we are committing the same mistake, you know. All I can say is, you know, we seem to have forgotten our history in this country. And when you've forgotten the lessons of history, you are doomed to repeat them.
Or never bothered to learn them in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm a brat from the public schools. I was not taught the Peloponnesian War in high school or God knows junior high or grade school. I learned it voluntarily in college.
Well, I learned it involuntarily in college. I went to the University of Chicago, and there is a one-year-long course there. University of Chicago is sort of strange. The College of the University of Chicago, which is unnamed, you know, most colleges have a name. It's just the college.
Mm-hmm.
Has got a thing called the Common Core. And they basically say, you're going to leave this place well-rounded or you're not going to graduate. And so there are humanities requirements, there are, science requirements, there are mathematics requirements, there are language requirements, no matter what field you're specializing in.
And you will come out of there understanding more about your world than when you went in.
Right. And there's a year-long course called Greek Thought and Literature.
Now, see, I would eat that stuff up like breakfast.
I loved it, but what I didn't love was the essays I had to write on things, and I was never particularly good as an interpretive essayist.
Okay, well that makes some sense, because you you don't seem to have any problem interpreting it now.
Well, you know, it seems that years and years of experience with the world make that stuff a lot more relevant.
And it's worth remembering, of course, that when they were school children, Jefferson, Franklin, Adams, Madison, that crowd, they were getting their ancient Greek, they were starting on it at about the same age that my third grade son is now.
Yep.
And they were
learning Latin and Greek.
Exactly. And I don't, here in West Virginia, I don't know how it is in Illinois, but here in West Virginia, I can think of maybe three, four high schools that teach Latin.
Well, no, I went, when I was going to school here, there was still Latin in the school. First I went to a Catholic school, and then as a sophomore I went to the public school, and there were still, you know, I took Latin all 4 years.
Well, that was my trip through high school too. And to my knowledge they still offer it there, but it's long since died out around here. And it's a shame. Our senator, the hero of the Senate, Robert Byrd, created a grant for teaching history teachers how to teach history. And my counterpart in the afternoon here on News Talk 620 is in charge of that. And I've frequently mentioned to him, sure would be nice to get a corollary of that for classical studies. Because if we don't start remembering some of this, Ben, you're right. To say that there is hell to pay as a result of our ignorance is it's an understatement of mammoth proportions.
Well, you know, and so instead of spending our time as a nation taking care of the things we need to take care of, taking care of the flood of heroin that is coming into our country,
yes,
taking care of the rampant street crime in parts of our country, taking care of the meth labs that seem to be on every corner, even in the middle of rural Iowa. Instead of doing all that stuff and making maybe the people safer, we are going off after a guy named Rob Black and his wife Lizzie Borden and their little pornography company out in California because they did something that Ashcroft and then Gonzalez find to be gross.
Well, I've long since started referring to Gonzalez as Alberto de Torturmada. And the thing is, it's apt and it fits. And one of the things that was so sickening about him was this fawning parade of people who were who sat there during his confirmation hearings, Ben, and said, "Well, you know, I applaud the fact that you came from a log cabin and you had to learn to read by candlelight." I don't care if a guy comes from from marble halls or a log cabin. If he is fundamentally immoral and without any sort of redeeming qualities, who cares where he came from?
And what basis does he have to complain about the degrading and immoral things done between consenting adults in a video when virtually the same sorts of things were done to unconsenting prisoners under his tutelage at Abu Ghraib?
At his behest?
Yes.
Do anything you want as long as it doesn't cause death or organ failure. And yeah, that includes broom handles, stuck-up backsides, fake menstrual blood being wiped on Arab men. And God knows what I just said, according to some weirdo right-winger, might be obscene. I consider it a fact.
The truth is obscene to fascists.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. So, you know, look what's coming. You know, Jim mentioned just a little bit ago that this monstrous anti-obscenity bill passed the House today by a vote of 389 to 38, Ben.
Right.
Here it comes.
Well, you know, it's you know, and these are the people that have the colossal gall to tell those of us on the quote-unquote left, although I think really most of us aren't all that far left. We're just good Americans.
No, I'm not running around singing the Internationale.
No, although it's a great tune.
Well, yeah.
And you know, but they have to tell us that we are the politically correct police. You know, they're going to go off after us because we are so politically correct and aren't going to tolerate stuff that is offensive, and then they just impose their own form of political correctness.
Well, hypocrites of the highest order.
Exactly. You know, I really think that the day we start taking our country back is the day we start convicting and imprisoning large numbers of them.
Large numbers of this administration. You know, I know you have some, you've mentioned in the past some connections with people who work in the sex industry.
Yeah.
Like these videographers you mentioned. That doesn't make them dirty people. And Jeff Gannon or Jim Guckert or whatever.
No, he's not dirty because he was a whore.
No.
No, he's dirty because he was a hypocrite. And he's dirty because he's a closeted gay man who was going off after the rights of other gay men.
And as the Nashua Advocate noted today, Ben, you know, the gays in the military issue is always raised as, well, you know, if someone was gay, they could possibly be blackmailed by a foreign power. And they said ever so eloquently today, how do we know what's not or is going on inside the Bush administration? How did this guy who went from, in the course of 6 days, went from absolute zero, not a journalist, to member of the White House press corps?
With unprecedented access.
Yeah. How did that happen? And you factor...
Be clean.
No, you factor in Scott McClellan, that everybody says was a habitué of gay bars in Austin, which is known as being the gay capital of Texas.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty stunning. Well, you know, and I wonder how close to the top this really goes. You know, I mean, there are rumors about George Bush.
Oh yes, there are.
And a fellow named Victor Ash, whom he was pals with for a long, long time. And whom he made an ambassador.
To Poland.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. And of course, George Bush's frequent use of the word fabulous.
You got me.
Hey, Ben, thanks so much.
You take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Time for our top-of-the-hour news break. More of your calls when we come back. But really, you've got to ask yourself the question. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck... Maybe it is a guck, Ert. Shame on me. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Get rich without leaving home. I'm Chris Whitting with The Success Journal. George knew where he wanted to live. Someplace warm. Florida sounded perfect. Hitchhiking south, he arrived in the Sunshine State and ended up cleaning bathrooms. Soon, he had a better job, running a supermarket. When a new boss decided he didn't like George, he left to open his own store across the street. Determined to have the best store in Florida, George worked hard. He added air conditioning, better selection, even music to keep shoppers happy. When sales took off, George opened more stores. These days, George Jenkins' company has hundreds of stores across Florida and beyond. Publix Supermarkets is now a giant. The family's worth $1 billion. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Introducing the 60 greatest old-time radio shows of the 20th century, selected by Walter Cronkite. 30 hours of classic radio, including Orson Welles' legendary War of the Worlds, The Lone Ranger, and The Shadow. Plus comedy greats Jack Benny, Abbott and Costello.
I'm not asking you who's that
person.
I don't know.
And more. This digitally remastered cassette compilation comes complete with a 64-page commemorative booklet. Call now to order. You'll get 60 episodes for just $29.95 plus shipping and handling. That's 50% off the regular price. CD also available. As a bonus, you'll also get 2 episodes of The Bob Hope Show free. Old Time Radio is great family entertainment for listeners of all ages and makes a perfect gift. Order now.
Look, bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
For the 60 greatest old time radio shows, call now. 800-458-6400. 800-458-6400.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WWNR, News Talk 620.
My mommy has multiple pearls, a small sclerosis.
If you think it's hard to say, imagine living with the debilitating effects of multiple sclerosis. We're the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Call 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
News Talk 620, WWNR.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the dawn. It's 8 o'clock.
I didn't know aging would cause my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way that you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, Guides Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking at 1 to 3 inches of snowfall through tonight, a low near 25 sustains that snowmaking machine. We'll deal with 32, the high for tomorrow, so a chillier day, with about an inch of snow expected in addition to what we get through the overnight. Friday's forecast, partly cloudy initially, then clouds fill in through the afternoon. A few snow showers later in the day expected as well. Colder with a high around 30.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Back 6.5 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob Kincaid, and look, this is as good a time as any to run through this whole Gannon Guckert gate thing, because it just gets more twisted and more weird as we go on. Now, bear in mind, and it's tough, it's a little tough to follow, but the latest information, first of all, and this has been, you know, this has been covered in the Washington Post, okay? Media morality watchdog Howie Kurtz even gave cursory passing comment to it. This Gannon, quit calling him Gannon. His name is James Guckert. Among other things, he claimed to have a degree from the Pennsylvania State University system, which is a sly way of trying to talk people into believing that you've got a degree from Penn State. Turns out he's got a degree from something like Westchester Community College or something in the state university system of Pennsylvania. Funny how that works. And as it turns out, as I mentioned, he is a $200 an hour gay male prostitute. And he became a professional journalist by virtue of paying $50 for a little Draw Spunky School of Journalism seminar hosted by some rabid right-wing Republicans. He was denied credentials by both the U.S. Senate and U.S. House credentialing services, and he went to the White House for their daily passes. And he was credentialed under his real name, James Guckert, and as a consequence of that, he got into the White House press briefings. Slippery Scotty McClellan has finally admitted that he knew him under his credentialed name, James Guckert, and yet persisted in calling on him as Jeff Gannon. Hi, I'm Jeff Gannon, Talon News Service. And you should, well, not if there are children around. You should see the photos. AmericaBlog.com has links to them. It's this guy, the skinhead, two rows back, 10 feet from the President of the United States. HotMilitaryStuds.com. MilitaryEscortsM4M.com. He billed himself at $200 an hour or $1,200, I think, for the weekend. And so, you know, there's Slippery Scotty McClellan. He knows what he's dealing with and yet says nothing. The guy is called on to lob softballs to George W. Bush when the questions were getting a little too tough from the Johnny-on-the-spot Washington press corps. When Helen Thomas was making life a little too hard
for Boy George. You could always count on Jeff Gannon, Tyler News Service. So, what's the latest? Well, Slippery Scotty McClellan. And, you know, turns out Slippery Scotty was a habitué of gay bars in Austin, which is the gay capital of Texas, at times when George W. Bush was governor of Texas. According to Raw Story, McClellan was known to have visited a gay bar in Austin on March 19, 1995. The date was placed exactly as a local memorial service was held on the same day. The source would not say outright whether McClellan was actually gay, but he did say he was frequently seen at gay clubs. And that was also confirmed by a second source. He was often seen in gay clubs in Austin, Texas, and was comfortable being there. He was the mayor's son in town. Everybody knew who he was. The mayor of Austin, Carol Keaton Strayhorn. He said Strayhorn. Oh, you got to give props to the god of irony. These names. Strayhorn, I'll say. But it goes back, of course. I think it was January 2004, George Bush traveled down to Mexico, met with the Prime Minister of Canada and some Mexican officials. It was one of those North American summit kind of things. And at the time, and this is all verifiable, at the time, and it was reported extensively in the Canadian press, not so much here, but at the time that George Bush met the Canadian Prime Minister, the Canadian Prime Minister was Paul Martin, I believe, was accompanied by his aide-de-camp, if you will, a man named Scott Reed. George Bush met him and looked at Scott Reed and said, "You're a pretty man. You're prettier than I, Scott." At which point, everyone's jaws were dropping.
Yeah.
And then reply, and then you know, he's not done yet, so George W. Foot in his mouth says, "And you've got a real pretty face."
Yeah.
Sure do got a pretty mouth. This, and then, you know, the whipping the whipped cream on top of all of this business is the fact that this Gannon character, Guckert, whatever, is embroiled in the Valerie Plame outing. You remember the treasonous outing of a deep cover CIA agent. Treason, yeah. Felony, well, according to the statutes, outing a CIA agent is a felony. A couple of reporters are facing jail time right now. One of them is Judith Miller from the New York Times, and that doesn't break me up a whole lot considering all the rah-rah that she did leading up to the Iraq War. Yeah, she was the point girl for Ahmed Chalabi. And reprinted all those press releases in the New York Times that said Chalabi was the hottest Iraqi thing since sliced bread and would bring democracy, frisbees, and wheat checks to Baghdad. Turns out he was on the CIA payroll to the tune of about $360,000 a month. Turns out he was a double agent for the Iranians. And now it turns out he might well be the number two man in the new Iraqi government. But Judith Miller is facing jail time over a CIA agent being outed who was outed by Bob Novak. And yet the document itself apparently trails back to this Gannon guy. Read up on this. Raw Story, America Blog, even the Washington Post. This is stuff that smells like the Profumo affair in England during the 60s. Read the article at the Nashua Advocate. You know, and that line. Bush approached Scott Reed. This was reprinted in the Houston Voice. Bush approached Scott Reed, Martin's senior strategist, and after a brief introduction said,
"Well, you got a pretty face."
This is the guy you wingnuts voted for, okay? This is the guy that the dinos, the Democrats in name only, voted for. And then he said,
"Yeah, you got a pretty face. You're a good-looking guy. Better looking than my Scott, anyway."
Oh, my God. Who's in the White House? I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a right way and a wrong way to bring jobs to West Virginia. There's a high road and a low road. The low road leads to reduced wages and benefits for West Virginia workers. It's a road marked by giveaways and sweetheart deals for those in the fast lane, but it's a dead end for the rest of us. The road less traveled is the high road. It leads to good jobs, fair wages, and responsible development. It's a little harder to navigate, but it's well worth the trip. A message from the ACT Foundation.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
Power Country 105.9 and Raleigh General Hospital present the 8th Annual Southern West Virginia Women's Expo at the Raleigh County Armory, February 19th and 20th. Free child care provided by A Place to Grow. Free parking courtesy of Smith Company Motor Cars. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo features exhibits on health and fitness, beauty, financial planning, home decor, nutrition, and so much more. Register for cash giveaways each day and attend informative seminars and demonstrations. The Southern West Virginia Women's Expo, presented by Raleigh General Hospital and Power Country 105.9. Saturday, February 19th from noon until 6 p.m. and Sunday, February 20th from 1 until 5 p.m. Get your free tickets now at Daniel Vineyards, Beckley Beauty Academy, A Place to Grow, Sitting Pretty, and Country Keepsakes.
WWNR Beckley.
Welcome back. You know, it goes on and on, the weirdness, from the remarks in the Nashua Advocate, quoting the Houston Chronicle, 1999, then-presidential candidate Bush allegedly told then-Texas State Representative Glenn Maxey, a Democrat, who is an openly gay person, he said, quote,
I value you as a person, and I value you as a human being, and I want you to know, Glenn, that what I say publicly about gay people don't pertain to you.
Is there any question about hypocrisy?
And then bear in mind, you know, yeah, okay, the Slippery Scotty was caught going into gay bars, you know. Mind you, going into a gay bar doesn't make you gay any more than walking into the Vatican makes you Pope. That was probably a bad analogy. But anyway, if you are, quote, often seen at gay clubs in Austin, unquote, and you're belting out Somewhere Over the Rainbow in a blue gingham dress, well, yeah, you know.
And remember his mother's name, Strayhorn. Strayhorn. Going to have to build a temple. We are. These people are hypocrites all the way up. And I guess hypocrisy is not a felony. But you might remember that, let's see, prostitution's illegal. Guckert Gannon was a prostitute. Solicitation's illegal. He was pimping himself and other people out. Extortion is illegal. How did Scotty turn over that day pass every day, and why? Bribe taking, bribe giving, those are felonies too. Possessing confidential government documents and leaking them, that's pretty illegal. And the cover up that goes with it all is stinking illegal. Again, and I get so tired of saying this, $70 million we spent trying to find out just a little bit more about Bill Clinton's sex life. And we've got a gay hooker in the White House press corps. And we can't even get the Congress stirred up enough to investigate. Of course, you know, when you open that little Pandora's box, God only knows what kind of bats are going to fly out, and I'm sure the only closeted gays in Washington aren't all Republicans. Look away, look away, nothing to see here, move along, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Let's go back to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. We've got Chris. Hey, Chris, your head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
One thing to consider is, you know, he got 10 feet away from the president and asked him a question. Usually, when our prosecutors get that close to him, they're not asking questions.
Oh, you're trying to get me in trouble.
Otherwise occupied. Anyway, one thing I wanted to ask you about, that one of those articles that I found on The Good Coach.
Yeah, Donnie.
What was that cryptic line about the last of that article about the guy that replaced him's daughter is in China working for the State Department for them?
Ooh, I missed that.
Oh, you missed that. Oh, man, that was the last line of that article.
Rodriguez's daughter? They're all kids, I thought.
It was in a sports article. It was at a dinner or whatever that the former coach spoke at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at the bottom of that article.
I'll have to go back and check. That's bizarre.
I saw that, and I think I called the email to you. Cole Football China.
Yeah, I saw that. That's just strange.
You asked me to see what I could hunt up.
Yeah, and I do appreciate it too.
And I saw that, and I went,
well, there's bizarreness going on with the fiends of Cole. I mean, if you were up here, Chris, you'd live in a constant state of moral outrage at what Big Cole is allowed to do to the place that we ostensibly plan on handing off to our children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
It's revolting in the extreme. You know, but meanwhile, you know, our legislature's Johnny on the spot, and they're working up that tongue-splitting bill. Yeah, tongue-splitting movie pirates.
The last couple of days, I have been planning to call you and say, you've got a long-distance direct phone call from Tijuana, and I was going to go, Bob, I'm going to do it. I'm going to split my tongue. You've got 30 seconds.
They got the forceps in my mouth, and you got 30 seconds to talk me out of it.
And I never think I'll be able to come to West Virginia.
Hey, and congratulations on your new blog, man.
Yeah, I like that.
The Mansell Report is now available online. You don't have to sign up for email or anything. It is the Mansell Report, correct?
Yeah.
The Mansell Report .blogspot.com, and there's only one L in Mansell.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I put everything on there that I've written, but I'm on one big section, but I'm going to take it off.
And sort of compartmentalize it.
Yeah, I'm just going to, I wrote one yesterday called the old speechwriter's home.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
These old speechwriters that sit on the back porch of this old folks' home, and they look at a dumpster and a employee parking lot and talk about it. And I kind of foretold my own future. As one of those old guys goes, you know, one of these days there'll be an old blogger's home. So maybe I'll last up.
But welcome to the blogosphere.
Yeah. Thanks for telling me about that.
I just sort of happened on it by accident.
Now I don't have to worry about sending out emails to everybody. And now you don't have these weird letters.
Yeah. The
symbols appearing in my eye.
The strange character set. But I don't know if that's you or me, so.
I think it's me because a couple other people said something about it.
Yeah, every apostrophe was marked with the euro symbol.
I wish I was making euros on each apostrophe.
Better than making dollars now if you're following the money market.
Well, that's the truth, yeah.
All this Gammon Guckert business, Chris, I know you've been kind of fascinated with it because it's
Dookie Gate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if it walks like a guck quacks like a guck. Yeah.
That, I spoke to Kyle at the library today, and I told him about McClellan, and he said, what?
Not surprising, though, and, you know, anybody whose mother's last name is Strayhorn, something's going to happen.
Well, the great songwriter that worked with Ellington, Billy Strayhorn, he was gay.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
There was rumors about Ellington.
But this thing just stinks all the way down now.
The possibility
for blackmail and just
soldiers could be blackmailed. Oh, let's just never mind what the United Nations could do to us.
And here's the way he described himself. Quote, military, muscular, masculine, and discreet, and provides an America. And he also provides an America Online email address.
Yeah, I saw the picture in the Tidy Whities. I saw that.
Well, there are worse ones.
I don't care.
fortunately, Mr. Aravosis from America Blog put the little black boxes over, so you didn't have to be too. But, you know, I mean, the Washington Post has it. But, you know, has Fox said a word? Nope.
No.
You know, if you go back and you study the history of Watergate, the American
John
press.
John said worse than Watergate.
Yeah. But the American press corps, in large part, had to be dragged kicking and screaming to the Watergate scandal.
Yeah. I want to say a special hello to Stephen in England. Hey, Stephen.
Yeah. That was very cool.
Yeah, yes, that was. I'm very impressed. And thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben.
I'm greatly appreciative. It's
a great thing.
It is.
And on the days where I'm feeling too terrible to listen when it's on, I know it's great to know that I can go back and, you know, later on that evening and listen to it.
Well, I'll be honest. I listen to it too because that's how I air check myself now.
Well, you know, I've slept 3 hours since we talked on the phone.
Oh, you're batting a million, Chris.
I'm telling you, I'm just having a rough time lately. But my daughter, who you have talked to on the air.
Correct.
The last 2 days, I've been feeling terrible. hadn't been able to sleep or nothing. I didn't watch the news for 2 days. And my daughter could not believe it when I told her.
But you're feeling better now, aren't you?
Yeah, I took a couple of days off, and it's amazing what 2 days off will do.
The constant influx of and the thing is, it's not so much the news, it's what else they package in with the news. You, oh, my God, Michael Jackson has the flu. There was residue on Robert Blake's hands. There was a train crash. That's not news.
Oh, and then they wish her, you know, a couple hundred people got killed in China, but that was about that.
Yeah, that came and went like a spring snow.
We talk about the media. Okay, here's CNN, you know, this, the respected, the worldly...
The conservative King, news network.
Larry King, you know, is going to testify for Michael Jackson. No wonder we can't get any serious news.
Nope. No wonder at all. Hey, Chris, we got to hit the break.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's great.
Okay.
We just. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. My daughter's fine.
Thank you so much.
It was not appendicitis, and we're very happy about that.
Thank goodness. I've been worried about that.
Yeah. Everything's great, and thank you for asking. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. Bye now. And time for a little news update from Carl Mack, followed by Jim Hightower's ever trenchant commentaries. And we'll be back with more of your calls at 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. An Alderson Marine injured in a roadside bombing near Baghdad has now been transferred to a Navy facility in Maryland. Lance Corporal Ronald Howard was driving a Humvee on routine patrol January 31st when the vehicle was struck. Howard sustained a broken jaw and multiple fractures of his left leg and a broken right arm. He was initially treated at Baghdad Hospital before being transferred to Rheinstein Air Base in Germany. He's now recovering at the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. Somers County authorities are looking for a suspect who robbed a convenience store in Hinton last night. Sheriff's deputies say the suspect walked into the Pit Row store at around 7 o'clock, brandishing a knife and demanding money. He fled the store with money, too, more than $1,000. Suspect described as a white male, about 5'6", 5'7", medium build. Deputies think the suspect may have been involved in a robbery at the Hinton Subway store on January 16th. State Auditor Glenn Gaynor says some 43,000 West Virginia taxpayers are not taking advantage of the federal earned income tax credit. Gaynor says more than $78 million that belong to West Virginians is still in federal Internal Revenue Service accounts rather than turning over in the economy. So Gaynor sent out a reminder this week in the 45,000 bi-monthly paychecks of public employees, reminding state workers to check and see if they qualify for the credit. Utility bills, buffer zones, and lime green signs, those are some of the things being considered in legislation offered this week by Southern West Virginia lawmakers. Fayette County Delegate Tom Luises wants to keep utilities from using a standard rate so that customers pay only for gas, electricity, and water that they actually use. Tonight, rain showers becoming much colder. They should turn into late snow showers late tonight and early tomorrow morning. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy and cold with a high on Thursday only near 35. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack when you need to know.
In the swirl of statistics constantly spinning around us, here's one that caught my eye. The fifth leading cause of preventable disease and death in America is our medicines. Specifically, adverse reactions to prescription drugs are responsible for 100,000 deaths a year. This is but one of the startling findings in an important and easy-to-use book called Worst Pills, Best Pills, just published by the health research group of the consumer watchdog organization, Public Citizen. Pill by pill, this 900-page compilation profiles in plain English pluses and minuses of the medicines you or a loved one might be taking. There's been a lot of publicity recently about Vioxx, a heavily advertised, widely consumed arthritis drug that Merck and Company had to pull off the market because it was found to increase the risk of heart attacks and strokes. The industry rushed out to say that Vioxx is a rare exception to an otherwise perfectly safe plethora of pills on the market. Not. The health research group finds that 53 top-selling prescribed drugs, quote, should not be taken under any circumstances. It also lists 181 drugs under its do not use category, ranging from antidepressants to toenail fungus drugs, offering safer alternatives to each. Besides the dangers of specific pills, the greater problem is that America has become massively overdosed. Thanks to pharmaceutical sales reps that hustle doctors to push their brands, and thanks to the surge of slick drug ads on TV, we have a national drug problem. Indeed, the book's researchers conclude that the greatest epidemic of drug abuse in American society is among those patients who are the victims of misprescribing or overprescribing. This is Jim Hightower saying, the good news is that each of us can do something about it. To find out more about Worst Pills, Best Pills, go to worstpills.org.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. It's about 22 minutes before 9 o'clock, about halfway through the show for tonight. And I should note, this is a momentous day. This has been a very momentous day. I suppose it's over, over now in the Far East. But something big happened today. The Kyoto Protocols took effect. Civilized nations from the world over band together to try to make the planet safe and livable for the human beings yet unborn and undreamt of. Well, a lot of them did. The 1/6 of the world population that uses 1/4 or more of the world's resources took a powder.
Bad for business.
Not being able to breathe the air or drink the water is pretty bad for business too, George. But we took a powder. But it's not too late. We may someday have leadership that understands that we have a debt not just to those currently striding planet Earth, strutting and fretting their hour upon the stage, but those who are yet waiting in the wings.
Now, by then, we'll have learned to breathe smog, because we'll evolve. No, we won't evolve. My right-wing religion industry advisors won't let me say that we're going to evolve.
Well, I tell you what, considering the way we're ignoring Kyoto, we'd better, by God, learn to evolve. Grow gills or be able to
survive on dioxin. There's no end to the depredations of these punks at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and they're even beginning to eat their own. Did you see the statement from David Kuo, the former head of the faith-based initiatives in the White House, who came out I guess yesterday or the day before and said this administration could have had anything it wanted from Congress in the way of faith-based initiatives to help the hungry and the poor and the suffering, but it wasn't one of their priorities. How many times do I have to tell you? These people who, you know, and you know, never mind me. Look at what Jesus said. The people who pretend toward piety care the least about their souls. Over at commondreams.org, there's an essay you can read from a Jesuit priest called Pharisee Nation. And he talks at the beginning of the essay about addressing, 1,500, 2,000 students at an annual lecture at a Baptist college in Pennsylvania. And he explained to them, he started out with a prayer based on the Beatitudes, and then he explained to them, listen, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say, blessed are the war makers. Therefore, the war makers are cursed. And therefore, if we want to be among those Jesus blessed, we had better resist with all our might this evil, unholy war against the people of Iraq. Now, this was at a Baptist college. Did all the young Baptists stand up and, yay, yay, Jesus, go Jesus? No. 500 of them booed him and hissed him and got up and walked out. The rest of them sat there chanting, Bush, 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 Bush. And the title of the essay is Pharisee Nation, commondreams.org. Go read it. And take your anti-vomit medicine before you do. Because he lays it on the line. Father John Deere does. Got up, so-called Christians, got up and walked out on a man who was preaching the meaning of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor. Blessed, never mind. The wingnuts aren't interested in it. And the decent people are already living it. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Urachmiel. Hey, Urachmiel, you're head on.
Hello.
Hey.
There I am.
There you are.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know if people noticed, someone was assassinated there in Lebanon.
Yes, Rafiki Hariri.
And for some reason, you're supposed to trash Lebanon. It's a custom.
Apparently, yes.
And after all, you know, Syria is dominating Lebanon. And
well, it's almost a client state at this point, isn't it?
We couldn't care less. And we don't want, you know, we don't want another democracy in the Levant, because to keep the scenario going, we need this lone Israel. The lone Israel is surrounded by Arabic, you know,
heathens, terrorists.
And the United States is protecting it because they give them the arms, the money they need, you know. And here you have a potential, when you remove Syria and the Hezbollah and you know, all these Iranian, Pakistani, you know, roots that have no business being there, you know, with their Shiite politics and maneuvers.
Right.
With, you know, invading and then going down, getting involved in Palestinian politics and invading Israel and attacking Israel. If you take Lebanon, I mean, the whole anti-Israeli stance, it's not really, I don't think it's a Lebanese thing so much as it's, you know, a foreign thing.
Well, I think you're right, Urachmiel, because there are a couple of things that stick out a little bit out of that story. One is the fact that Mr. Hariri, that was his name, correct?
The way they pronounce it is Hariri or Hariri. You know, I the first letter I can't remember.
Well, at any rate, he had been prime minister, and he was planning to run again, and he came from the pro-Syrian faction.
Well, originally, I think he's turning against them, though.
Well, turning against them, or else, let's.
In other words, he's becoming more, you know, definite about his opposition.
And well, that and he was becoming, he was going back to his Lebanese roots, I suppose.
Well, I've been, you know, it's so easy to talk. I've been, you know, I wrote a few pages, maybe a page or so on that about the Lebanese roots. Sounds very pretty, but you know, it's all. I mean, you're up against murderers.
Yes.
And you know, so you want Lebanese roots. I don't know where you go to Richmond, maybe.
Philadelphia.
Ohio.
But did you notice how quickly we jumped out there, blamed the Syrians, and started talking about what a great excuse this would be to bomb the snot out of Damascus?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, kind of sleazy Rice came out and said, the Syrians have to be warned that we won't tolerate this.
Well...
Like you know, the car bomb went off in Poughkeepsie.
I don't know what they're going to do now. The thing is, this has been going on for such a long time. And, I mean, this is really nasty to assassinate somebody like that.
It created a 30-foot crater, if you can imagine.
When this is as bad as anything. I just feel that Lebanon is, for some reason, not taken seriously. That's how I feel, you know. I mean, listen to the news.
Well, they're not growing the cedar anymore. We're not in the cedar market, and they don't have any oil.
Well, they have a society which.
But Yerachmiel, you're a man who speaks from his heart and his mind and has a very well developed moral sense. Understand first and foremost that if Mein Kampf is not the operating text for this Bush White House, then at the very least Machiavelli's The Prince is.
Well, yeah, certainly no. I mean, I don't.
You know, the end always justifies the means.
What I'm saying is, throughout the years, I mean, not only now. I mean, it's always been that way. I mean, Lebanon has always been trashed as kind of some place off to the wayside.
Well, but then again, historically speaking, then again, there was it was once referred. Beirut was once referred to as the Paris of the Levant. A place of extreme beauty and grace and civility, and the hell and violence there is of fairly recent vintage.
Well, but it's been there, and you know, in the past few decades.
Yes, absolutely.
And what I'm saying, the past few decades, Lebanon has been reduced to it's open house for Syria, Israel, Palestine, Hezbollah. You know, I mean,
The Druze.
Yeah, but there's. I'm not familiar what kind of politics they do. I mean.
There was one element, and for years I remembered the guy's name. One element of Christian militia.
Oh yeah. They participated in the conflict. They involved that conflict between the Christians and the Muslims.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's kind of. It's no longer part of the, like you say, it was a great place at one time, but I don't know. It seems like nobody ever wants them. But a thing like this, people get angry now because supposedly Syria claims they didn't do it, but they probably did it. But the point is, nobody cares about Lebanon, you know. I mean, I just, and the Lebanese, you know, the Palestinians are angry because they don't have a state. Well, Lebanon ought to have a state.
As opposed to simply a failed one. And, you know, while we're out there considering this kind of stuff, Yerachmiel, do you think because we both know a little bit about the demographics of the leftovers of the Crusades. Everybody who came over on the Crusades did not go back to Europe. There is a substantial European gene pool that flows through the Levant.
Yeah, and also the Greeks have always, you know, the Ionian people,
right,
were the Greeks, you know, basically. We call them Greeks, but I mean that Aryan race,
mm-hmm,
the Mediterranean.
Yeah, it's all there, and yet you're right. It's a pawn. It's an afterthought at best. And we talk about Syria. You know, this is a good excuse to attack Syria. And yet at the same time, I was reading a story not last week of a young man from Canada of Arabic background. I think they said his cousin was a buddy of a guy who knew a guy who knew the first name of a guy who might have once upon a time thought about joining a friend of his who was talking about Al-Qaeda. And the Americans seized him, you know, our government, yours and mine, we seized this young man in New York, pulled him off a plane, put him aboard a Gulfstream 5 jet, and did what we called an extraordinary rendition, and we sent him to Syria for months to be tortured. I mean, there's no question of this. It happened. And so, you know, those are the murky, nasty, swampy, opaque waters that we're wading in now. We're not sure if we want to bomb them or if we want to send somebody to them to have them tortured. We are wandering deep into the swamp, and there are nasty things with big sharp teeth that can snap your legs off in a minute in that swamp. Ben called a little bit ago, and he mentioned the Peloponnesian War, and we talked about that at some length. And you're familiar with Thucydides, are you not, Yeragnil?
Not extensively. I just have, you know, I know that topic you wrote about. I know he was a model for historians.
Well, one of the things that he notes is that as a result of the preemptive war that Athens started. One of the first things that happened to Athens itself was plague, wave after wave after wave of plague. And, you know, you have referenced the sickness in this country. And we can't even fully insure our children to make sure that they can go to the doctor when they're sick. Ben referenced the fact that we have a burgeoning heroin problem in this country because more heroin is coming out of Afghanistan right now than has ever come out of it before.
Yeah, that's another thing they don't talk about anymore.
Right.
You know, they spoke about it a while ago. We don't talk about Afghanistan anymore, and they mentioned that, the farmers there make a lot of money, as they always have. It's good for the Taliban.
But they are so brazen now that they're literally stamping the point of origin and the name of the heroin company on the bricks as they go into New York. It's amazing. But, you know, Athens and her allies were leveled by plague. What is this? What is this that's happening to our country as a result of the preemptive war that George Bush started? It's plague, isn't it?
Yes, there's a consequence.
I don't see how we can ignore it.
Speaking of George Bush, you mentioned George Bush's hypocrisy. Didn't I say months ago, before it was elected, that he's a Liberace conservative?
Yes, you did. Yes, you absolutely did.
He also said he's staying in the White House because he said, I'm staying in the White House anyway because my competition's gay. Now, they're not gay, but as long as they're, you know, not anti-gay,
right?
He's staying in the White House. And that's the way it works.
Well, and of course, this is again, it goes back to Niccolo Machiavelli. All ends justify any means, and if you abuse the faith-based community and convince them that you're Jesus' best friend, and it turns out you're Satan's best friend, that's okay as long as you got what you wanted.
By the way, I must say, I'm surprised. I'm absolutely against any faith-based initiatives from the government.
I am too.
Because the government is going to get involved in religion, pay them money, and make conditions. And they would stay out of religion, and they can take the same money and give it to the same poor people by some other means. I just don't want to hear. I just can't stand the thought of the government getting involved in religion.
Well, yeah, because sooner or later, the minute that you take Caesar's sesterces, you owe Caesar allegiance, do you not?
Right.
And isn't that exactly what faith-based funding is?
Well, I'm just so disgusted. I mean, nobody makes sense anymore. I don't care how intelligent or educated they are. They talk about this stuff like it was something sensible to talk about. And I just, the Democrats are talking about it, and it's become so popular that you can't point the finger at somebody and say, that's against the First Amendment of the Constitution.
And because they'll scream at you and call you a member of the ACLU.
Even if the, what will the Democrats do? And there's Democrats in favor of this faith-based initiative.
Oh, I know you, Rockmill. There's an element of my party that thinks that we're only going to ever get to be president again if we get to be a little more Republican. And at that point in time, there's no point to the Democrats existing if they're just if they're just Republican light.
Political prostitution.
Yes.
I had a subject. I don't know if I'm perhaps a little maybe more sharp than the average person or what, but in the past several weeks or months, you know, there's always dirty fighting. Some people call up on these programs, and sometimes I have it out with the hosts. I have disagreements. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And there are times when some of the callers, you know, they are explicitly nasty. I mean, you have psychopathic masters of malarkey who get kicks out of spewing their Hitlerian drivel out over the airwaves.
Sure.
And, I mean, these people are, they know they're deliberately doing these things. It's not a mistake in logic or anything.
No, it's ignorance.
That means, but some people have done such dirty things. You might know a couple of them because they call your show called Bill O'Brien's show, and they've been so dirty, I can't believe it. I just can't believe. I can't believe what I'm hearing. You know what I mean?
I do.
When I was a kid, if you kick somebody into Uniwatskis, you couldn't play with anybody anymore.
Right.
You know, if you want to wrestle or something, go ahead and do it, but not like that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or pick on somebody your own size. But, man, some people, and the people that they do it against, they're always better people. I'd rather listen to the other guy.
Yeah.
Because at least he may have an opinion that I think is ridiculous. At least he's decent about it. You know, but then sometimes I call it like the host, and that's happened a couple instances. They said things to me, is this guy dirty fighting, or he'd had too much Ernest and Julio? You know. And,
yeah, I do.
And last time he said something to me, just the sheer logic of it was, if you can say that I am what I call people, Bob Kincaid, and you've got a whole lot of names coming your way, because you've been calling people more than anybody. Not to mention George Pinhead.
Yeah.
Follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So, I mean, does that make you... I never occurred to me to call you a pinhead because you call somebody pinhead. I didn't give you a chance to state your case.
Right.
Yeah, but don't use clever argumentation against me. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
That's clever, but
I don't think you, I don't think. Now, let me get this straight. You're not directing this at me.
I'm saying you said to your Rockmail, since I said something about a certain group of people, you said, well, maybe that applies to your Rockmail. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And
I know the circumstance of that you're talking about.
Well, I said that the gay people are sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's my opinion. Now, if you want to know why I say that, I'll be willing to explain.
And that's why I say, you know, we share a great deal in common. We don't have to share everything in common.
I don't care if you disagree with me.
Right.
You can disagree, but when you argue, it's clever argumentationalism. It does not afford any kind of adult conversation. You follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to make progress.
I understand. I mean, we simply agree on this, disagree on this.
But I'm not trying to win the argument.
I know.
I'm trying to state my case, and you tell me, oh, that's about yourself. So every time I say something about somebody, it's about me. So that means that you're a pinhead, because you pulled George Bush a pinhead. Did I ever say anything like that to you?
No, you didn't.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I haven't said anything along those lines to you either, you rock me.
The last time I called you, you said maybe you're Rathmeel sick. I'm telling you what you said.
No, I don't. I think you mistook me, because I enjoy our conversations a great deal.
Well, I didn't know how to understand it, but I hope you're not.
No. I think you mistook me, and I think I'm being misquoted.
Maybe you were tired and you didn't realize.
No. I think one of the things that was going on at the time was what's going on right now, and that is we're running up against our break.
Well,
and I have to get away.
And also with the end of the segment.
You know? Yeah, and you know, I'm a slave to the hard breaks. We got to hit the news.
So
if you took something I said offhandedly, you have my humble apology.
At least I can talk to you about it.
Well, certainly.
And listen, if I go to bed at night, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, well, you know, and if you're getting up in the morning, you're doing even better.
I can fix it up the next day.
All right, take care of your rockmill. Bye now. All right, little top of the hour news. Come back, your phone calls, 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley, West Virginia. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the top. It's 9 o'clock.
I didn't know aging would cause my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way that you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Looking at 1 to 3 inches of snowfall through tonight. A low near 25 sustains that snowmaking machine. We'll deal with 32, the high for tomorrow, so a chillier day, with about an inch of snow expected in addition to what we get through the overnight. Friday's forecast, partly cloudy initially, then clouds fill in through the afternoon. A few snow showers later in the day expected as well. Colder with a high around 30.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley. West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
6 minutes after 9 o'clock. I suppose even professional communicators can be misunderstood from time to time. And I think that's what happened. John Kepi handed me this story, and I hadn't gotten to it yet, so by all means, let's do it now. Did you read where the Fiends of Coal are mulling over the idea of trying to purchase the naming rights for the new ballpark in Charleston? Friends of Coal Ballpark. Friends of Coal Park. Friends of Coal Stadium. Now, if they do that, how long before somebody slips in and wipes out that R and turns them into the fiends that they are? Fiends of Coal. And, you know, truth in advertising, I can deal with them buying the naming rights if it's Fiends of Coal. That fits. But the new ballpark for the new ball team, so inartfully named the West Virginia Power, and naturally the Fiends of Coal would gravitate to the power. It's what they worship. It's what they try to accumulate. It's all that is good and right in their world. Compassion? Mercy? Power. So I suppose it fits. But I have taken it upon myself to try to make contact with the front office of the West Virginia Power. And bear in mind, my lovely wife and I have taken our children to see what were the Alley Cats at the time at Watt Powell Park, and we had a fine time. We've been through a couple of rain delays. Rain delays are great fun. My youngest was terrified of the alley cat in the big alley cat suit for a while, but got over it. My son's arm was clocked by a radar gun for the first time at Watt Powell Park when they had the Got Milk tour there. Drilled that target at, you know, what, 5 years old maybe? Drilled the target right smack dab in the middle, and the jugs gun registered something above 40 miles an hour. Left-handed. And I'm thinking, we're going to work on this. And to this day we do, and he loves baseball. But with all that past as prologue, and I don't think I'll get any argument out of my lovely wife on this, I will not take my family into the Friends or Fiends of Coal Ballpark. And I hear it's going to be a beautiful facility. And I was actually looking forward to us going. But not if it's the Fiends of Coal. And my friends who oppose the abject, shameful, greed-infested rape of this state by the Fiends of Coal, I urge you, too, to contact the West Virginia Powers. Oh, what a name. Power outage in ninth inning. I mean, you can read the headlines, can't you? Power goes down. Power shortage. Hitters struggle.
No, contact the West Virginia Power and let them know you'll have nothing to do with anything named after the fiends of coal. Because if they do sell the naming rights, the West Virginia Power would be well advised to note that in the latest survey, over half of West Virginians deplore, object to having our state flattened because Don Blankenship hasn't figured out yet that they don't drag U-Hauls behind hearses. And, you know, it's legislative season. There's always going to be fun on any given night because of that. Did you catch in the Beckley paper today the roundup of all the hard work that's being done by local members of the legislature? There's some good, some bad. Tom Luisos is raising a ruckus over utility bills. That's a good thing. On the other hand, we have David Perry, who wants to spend taxpayer dollars to change caution signs around schools from yellow to green. Because we're all flush with money and just don't know what to do with it. More disturbing is Delegate Perry's desire to install Good Friday as a holiday in both the public and private sectors. Now, you know, I could go on this one, but no, it's not a good idea. Good Friday. I mean, for heaven's sakes, even the Christians can't all agree when that should be celebrated. So, Dave, buddy, whose Good Friday are we going to get off? Because unless you haven't checked, there are a number of Greek and Russian Orthodox churches in our communities, and their Easter is considerably different from our Easter on the calendar, unless I am completely mistaken. Hence, so is their Good Friday. You know, from a commerce standpoint, maybe we get Mardi Gras off next. Brother. And to make it cost neutral, he wants lawmakers to look at President's Day. And what, maybe eliminate that? No, we'll keep President's Day. This is a secular society, whether the right-wing nuts believe it or not. It really, really is. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment religion, impeding the free exercise thereof. Brother, this is our legislature. We pay them, you know, we gave them a raise a few years ago because we were afraid maybe they didn't feel like they were appreciated enough. And apparently Dave Perry was desperate for some bill to introduce, and he came up with Good Friday. But none of that trumps hardworking Delegate Linda Sumner, who has proudly signed on as a co-sponsor to a bill that will put taverns further away from churches and schools. Now, the law as it now stands says there is a 300-foot buffer zone. I don't know why the 300-foot buffer zone is necessary. Now, I wouldn't... Now, if there was a 300-foot buffer zone between schools and churches, I'm okay with that. But now, hardworking Delegate Linda Sumner wants a 1,000-foot buffer zone from the front door of the tavern to the front door of the church. And she says, it's just to make sure they're not located near churches and around residential areas. Okay. Why? No, I'm not being sarcastic. Why? But as I said earlier, every time you see one of these ignorant laws proposed, what you should hear in your head is, look, there's the right-wing religion industry admitting it is a failure. You understand the reasoning behind that, don't you? It is. They're failing. If those bars are close to our churches, well, you know what the congregation will do, don't you? They'll all leave before we pass the plate, and they'll be drunk in 15 minutes over at the bar. What a bunch of morons. I mean, and somebody calculate the cost. How much does it cost to republish the West Virginia Code because of the laws we add and delete? But no, hardworking Delegate Linda Sumner has time to co-sponsor bills to say that a tavern, a neighborhood tavern, a staple of American life since the beginning of America itself. We want to keep them away from churches and keep them from being around residential areas. That's right. That's right, Delegate Sumner. We want more people driving drunk to and from the bars. I'm not kidding. I don't know what passes for thought in the Republican mind. Because these people, they run out there with these grand ideas and no idea of the consequences. This woman is arguing in favor of drunk driving. And somebody sent her back to the legislature. Whoa! There was a time, and you know, ask somebody from the old Rust Belt. You know, ask somebody from Pittsburgh, from the Hungarian district, or the Polish neighborhood, or the German neighborhood, or the Italian neighborhood. Ask them about the old neighborhood taverns. Ask an Englishman about the neighborhood pub. Had a very dear friend who grew up and came from an area, I believe, near Cambridge. And she talked about how the pubs would have a playroom. And all the neighborhood children would play in the playroom while mommy and daddy had a pint. Not while mommy and daddy got loaded and soused to the gills, but while they sat down with their friends and had a little bit of neighborly conversation over a pint. Porter, ale, IPA, stout, who knows? It was a meeting place, a gathering place. And in this this punishment-obsessed culture of ours, this punishment-fetish culture of ours, Linda Sumner wants to make it harder to get to the bar. Because I don't care how hard she tries, some people are going to go and have a beer. Some people like to be social. Some people aren't pitiful old alcoholics huddled in a corner of their basement swilling, rubbing alcohol. Oh. Puritans. Hypocrites. They're doing it again. They're doing it again, and there we sit paying them to do it to us. Let's make sure the taverns are further from the neighborhood so it'll be a little more likely that somebody will die on the way home. Let's lower the legal alcohol limit. I mean, what do you think? Well, we got to get them away from the school. Bug spray!
You find me a tavern that's going to let little 12-year-old Johnny have a snort.
That's astonishing.
Don't these people have anything better to do than to make rules about what you and I can't do? It's never about what they don't want to do. It's what they don't want you and me to do.
And some bunch of real winners sent that woman back to the House of Delegates. Jumping Jehoshaphat. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I want a beer at a local tavern.
One where you could walk on?
Yeah!
I think I'm in favor of that. I like that a
lot. Am I off base here?
Huh?
Am I off base on this one?
No, you're not. I mean, you know, listen, somebody definitely has to run against this woman. I mean, you know, if that's the best thing you could cut, you know, you're going to spend your 60 days down here. This is your time in the spotlight.
Jesus, there are some slightly cooling corpses we could run against this woman and have more mentality.
God, I would hope so. But, you know, listen, I mean, that's Sumner's is a Republican. Oh. Is she not?
Well, yes.
Okay, well, let's give a little, you know, fair time to the other side. The tongue-splitting dude?
No. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and... You know, I'm hearing today that this is a more serious problem than I thought.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess a lot more people do that. But his law is that only doctors can perform tongue splitting. Give me a good reason why one would have a tongue split.
Time out before you yell at me.
Okay.
It's a union thing.
How is that now?
We don't want non-union tongue splitters out there muscling in on the business of the West Virginia Medical Association.
Oh, yeah, but see, most people don't think that is a union. I know it's a union.
Oh, wait.
I know it's a union.
It's a hell of a union.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so we got, what do we got? Rogue movie pirating tongue splitters hiding out in bars that are less than 1,000 feet from the church.
There you go.
And this we're wasting our money on? Shut them down. Tell them they can't meet except for once every 2 years.
Yeah, if that's all we're going to get, maybe we should make it even longer than that.
You know, tell them they can only meet on days that don't end in Y.
There you go. We could save a lot of money. Do you think they'd still turn in expenses?
Oh, yeah.
They could, well, they, you know.
I mean, I'm trying...
Yeah,
I'm,
because they would have to drive around looking for a day that didn't end in Y.
Now, well, I'm trying to think. Where are most of the booze and shrimp parties during the legislative session?
Down in Charleston.
Yeah, and in a quarter of Charleston that's within 1,000 feet of a church somewhere?
Oh, yeah. And you can't walk a lot. I don't know.
Well, you know, maybe these guys don't appreciate the beauty of being able to walk to the neighborhood tavern, because when they get done with their booze and shrimp parties, they ain't walking.
No.
They're crawling under the influence.
Exactly. I just for Staten.
Yeah.
I will get behind his bill if he amends it to say it's against the law for anybody to do that.
Period.
Especially doctors.
Right.
Especially doctors.
You know, who pulled this guy over into a corner legislative booze and shrimp thing and said, you know, we're trying, nobody's splitting their tongue right yet, but we're thinking.
The most amazing thing about it, isn't he the whip or something? Isn't he the Democrat?
Yeah, he's whip. The majority whip.
Majority whip. Ooh. Hey, man, you know, mark down 205 in Rick's book. Boy, you did good that year.
Yes.
that's the year you came up with that tongue-splitting thing.
Oh, he will go down in West Virginia history as an absolute Solon.
As he should.
I mean, you know, the Code of Hammurabi's got nothing on Rick Staten. You know, but
I know people in Wyoming County. They deserve better than that.
You know, and I hate hammering a Democrat.
Well, I do too, but you know, hey, if you're going to introduce tongue-splitting legislation, I'm hammering you. I don't care where you come.
Well, and the thing is, there's something in common with both the tongue-splitting bill and the movie pirating bill. You heard about this one, right?
Oh, I don't know, no.
Now, is Tim Armistead, is he a Democrat or a Republican? It doesn't say here, and I don't remember.
I can't tell you.
Well,
I'm not going to commit to an answer.
Staten's out there hell-bent for leather to stop this rampant wave of tongue-splitting, while Tim Armistead is worried about people sitting in movie theaters with mini-cams taping movies and pirating them somehow or another.
Oh, yeah, there's another terrible crime.
And both of these stories have one thing in common, Wayne.
What?
A line that says, so-and-so acknowledges that there is no known individual practicing this in the state at this time. But other states are jumping off the bridge, so we wouldn't want to be left behind and not jump too.
Bob, look at the idiots we've sent down there. I mean, and this, like you said, the special session... And you were just, I forget exactly what you said. When they went into regular session, what was your thing you were waiting
for? The mudflap bill?
Yeah, something to that. It's the same thing as this Lacey bill.
Oh, God, yeah.
And do you hear in order to convict somebody out of that, you have to prove in court that they knew this person was pregnant and that their intention was to harm the fetus.
Yeah, and you know what? There are 55 county prosecutors in West Virginia rubbing their skulls and saying, thanks, guys, we really needed this one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm always out there looking for another difficult element of proof in front of the jury.
I don't know. It seems as though we have a governor that's serious about really trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think maybe a little too serious.
Yeah.
But we need some serious legislators, too.
Well, I forget, was it...
I haven't seen any so far.
Well, was it Shirley Love that tried to introduce the bill that would eliminate the booze and shrimp parties?
It seems so.
I halfway agreed with that.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that.
Look what happens when you get your legislature all good and liquored up. You get tongue-splitting bills.
Right.
Movie pirates. I mean, can you hear the movie, the soundtrack and the movie pirates? Yar.
Yeah, but just
give me all your DVDs.
That's what's really frightening is when you find out that some of the people that introduce things like that, they don't drink.
Then they need to.
Or something, exactly.
Yeah, what
they should.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to that movie Stripes. These guys that don't lighten up, Francis.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God! But the neighborhood tavern. Yeah, you probably knew something like that.
I grew up with neighborhood taverns.
And this was a problem?
No, not really. I mean, you didn't have to walk that far to find your dad and stuff.
You're not helping again. Again with the not helping.
But they weren't driving.
Yeah, you knew where Dad was.
Right. I mean, if you really needed him for something,
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't out driving around carousing.
No, he wasn't.
Just sitting back, having an Iron City.
Hey, you just get done with, 8 or 16 hours in the steel mill. You needed an Iron City.
Yeah. It should have been part of the employee benefits package.
Well, in some cases it was.
At Iron City. No, it's a different America.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there used to be an America, Wayne, where there wasn't just a corner tavern, there was a corner grocer.
Yes.
And there was a corner druggist.
And there were real reporters. Real.
Yeah, with fedora hats and sweat-stained shirts and a half-burnt stogie sticking out of one side that would look at a politician and say, what the hell are you talking about, a tongue-splitting bill?
Exactly. We need those guys back.
Oh,
we need those people back.
Our buddy Paul calls in from time to time, and he calls it the winnowing of the souls. I don't know if we've got those. I don't know if we've got them. They're there in the blogosphere.
Yeah, they are.
But no.
I mean the I forget how many names he has now. The fake White House guy.
Yeah, Guckert Gannon.
Huh?
Guckert Gannon.
Yeah, Guckert Gannon. That is definitely, you know, God, somebody's got to pick up on that.
Well, they have. The mainstream journalism has picked up on it, Wayne, and they picked up on it to note how mean and nasty the left wing is for pointing out, for harassing this man out of his job because he's just a gay fellow.
Oh, I don't have any problem with that at all. My problem is he's a phony.
Well, and maybe, and what, who do we know? Maybe an extortionist?
Yeah.
Maybe involved in felony activity in outing a CIA agent?
Now, see, that's serious.
Yeah.
That's real serious. I had read that yesterday, I guess, that he had access to that.
Well, that's what he bragged. That's what he bragged about.
Right, but how. I'm a little. I know the New York Times reporter. What, had the story but didn't release it? Did they give it to Novak and he released it?
No, because Novak, if I understand the timeline correctly, Wayne, Novak did what he did before Judith Miller ever heard anything about it.
Well, then why is Judith Miller threatened with going to jail? I'm confused about that.
Well, and especially when she carried so much water for the Bush administration.
Yes, yeah, and she did.
So I'm not all broken up about her doing 18 months.
I'm not all broken up either, but apparently she made someone mad.
Well, yeah, and Novak must be protected at all costs. I mean, here's one guy, you sit him in the witness chair, the highly imposing federal judge, there it is. Guess who the federal judge is?
I wasn't Scalia, no.
No, David Sentell.
Okay.
David Sentell is the guy who sicked Ken Starr on Bill Clinton.
Oh.
Yes, sir, three bags full.
Ken Starr, none of the kids would have heard anything about Starr.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, how easy would it, how difficult would it be? You know, great, big, imposing federal judge. There sits Robert Novakula, whose reflection doesn't appear in mirrors. And he says, sir, who gave you Ms. Plame's name? And if he doesn't answer the question, you stuff that evil, old, undead thing in prison for a few months, and you bring him back a little bit later in the pretty orange jumpsuit, sir.
Him on a plane and fly him to Syria.
There you go! Broom handles!
Right. Torture him and stuff, and then bring him back. That's legal, you know.
Well, it's acceptable.
Well, ask Gonzalez.
Well, that's true, too.
That's legal.
Aw.
Wouldn't, you know...
We're down the snake hole, Wayne.
Huh?
We're down the snake hole.
Yeah. I was just thinking about Ken Starr now and your earlier reporting on Scotty and National Escort here and stuff like that.
Right.
Wouldn't Ken Starr fit right in the who's the FBI guy? J. Edgar Hoover.
Right.
Bolt.
Sure he does. And he could post it on the internet just like he did the pornography about Bill Clinton.
Right. I mean, do we have any stories about Ken cross-dressing or anything yet?
Oh.
I bet they're out there.
They probably are. You know, live boy or a dead girl, you know how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you know, a few months later, you bring Novak back in his orange jumpsuit, you put him in the chair and say, will you tell us yet? And he says no, and we say, see ya!
Yeah,
but, you know, Judith Miller, who had nothing to do with it, I mean, this is fascinating stuff, Wayne. I'm glad you brought it up. The court opinion on Judith Miller and the other reporter, if you see the opinion, it says blah, 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 and gives the reasoning why these people are going to be held in contempt. And then it says, with regard to Ms. Miller, and it's all blank, the government has absolutely redacted every blessed word about why she should be held in contempt. And it says, with regard to, you know, Joe Schmo, the other reporter, and it's nine blank pages because the government has said, we're sorry, you're not entitled to know why it is you're in contempt. You just are.
We are.
Welcome to the fascist state.
And it is a fascist state, Bob. That it is. You know, isn't it real convenient how the 52 incidents of the FAA being, you know, told about Al-Qaeda and their plans to, you know, have...
Yeah, I haven't heard much about that anymore, have you?
No, you have. You know, but isn't it convenient how that came out after the election?
After the election and 2 days before Michael Jackson got the flu.
Oh, yeah, I'm real concerned about that.
Brother. Oh, the stories that die on Fridays after the Washington Press Corps starts on its weekend, Heroin Jones. Yeah.
Well, you know, we the people got to wake up. That's
yeah,
the
not a bad idea.
Oh, it is. And, well, that's the only thing we got.
It is.
You know, and if the people don't wake up, well, we're doomed.
Well, Wayne, I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thanks. Bye. All right, a little news update from Carl Mack, and when we come back, more of your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On, I'm Bob.
Head On.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Fayette County Delegate Tom Luises wants to keep utilities from using a standard rate so customers pay only for gas, electricity, and water they actually use. He says that in current practice, consumers get charged for 1,500 gallons of water, even though they only use 500. He says his measure would only let utilities charge for what is used and no more. Fellow Fayette County Delegate David Perry has introduced legislation that would change the traditional yellow signs, crossing signs near school zones, to lime green that would draw more attention. Another bill he's introduced would make Good Friday a holiday in both the public and private sectors. What a boss says about a former employee would be protected from civil lawsuits. In a bill being considered by the House of Delegates, pro-labor delegates tried to change that bill during yesterday's floor session, but were unsuccessful. The bill would grant employers immunity when sharing job-related information with another business where the former employee is trying to get a job. The bill would protect what employers say about the former worker's conduct. A state senator wants to see a citizen review panel that would oversee the operations of child protective services. CPS has been the center of controversy after that five-year-old boy under its care froze to death late last month in an unheated house in Staniford. Monongalia County Democrat John Blair Hunter is proposing the Department of Health and Human Resources appoint a citizens review panel to recommend changes to the secretary, governor, and legislature on specific issues of child abuse and neglect. That's the news forecast for the rest of this evening. Cloudy with rain showers. They could turn to light snow showers. Much colder tonight, low around 20. And then for Thursday, partly cloudy. Slight chance of morning snow showers, then just cloudy and cold, but rain and snow showers back by afternoon. Tomorrow's high only around 35. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You asked for it, Beckley, and L&S Toyota's giving it to you. L&S Toyota is rolling over triple rebates. It's L&S Toyota, triple your rebate sale. Only L&S Toyota dares to match factory rebates with dealer incentives to give you triple rebates. Up to $3,750. Triple your rebates on new Toyota Corollas, Camrys, Tacomas, Hundreds, and more. Triple rebates on every new Toyota up to $3,750. That's right. Triple your rebates on all 2005 models. Plus, over 30 Toyota certified used vehicles are available with 3.9% APR financing. And get a 6-year 100,000-mile limited warranty with roadside assistance and a 160-point quality assurance inspection. Triple your rebate sale. Triple your saving. Now through Monday at L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley.
On select models with approved credit, limited term financing. Dealer retains all rebates and the Senate's $3,750 rebate on 05 number, ends 2/28/05.
Trinity Christian Academy is dedicated to educating the whole child. Trinity Christian Academy has loving, caring teachers who are trained to challenge students to achieve academic excellence. With kindergarten through 8th grade in a great new facility on Pinewood Drive in Beckley, Trinity Christian Academy is a great place for your child. Call today for information at 254-9600. Trinity Christian Academy, 224 Pinewood Drive, just above the Bank of Mount Hope in Beckley. Call Trinity Christian Academy today, 254-9600. 600.
That catches it, slams, and it hangs on the rim. And the Cougars are on a roll.
His 6th 3-pointer of the game, and this one's from 11 feet beyond the arc.
And the Cougars are national champions.
This
is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar Basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ.
The 2004 NAIA Division I National Champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar Basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
The toilet tank is dripping water on the floor.
Is it a bad seal or just harmless condensation?
Hi, I'm James.
And I'm Morris.
And we're the Carey Brothers with the On the House Tip of the Day.
Today you'll learn how to determine the source
when toilets drip on bathroom floors. Right after this.
Honey, the drain stopped up again.
Clogged drains are aggravating and can be expensive. So what do? Pour chemicals and wait, plunge and replunge, call for help maybe on a weekend, or use Clear Drain, the instant drain opener. With award-winning airburst technology that blasts right through even the toughest clogs. One push, and whoosh, clogs are gone. Clear Drain, available at the Home Depot and KLEERDrain.com. That's KLEERDrain.com.
Today is said to be Sherlock Holmes' birthday. In one story about the famed sleuth, Holmes solved a mystery at 221B Baker Street. Entering the study, Watson announced,
"I say, old chap, the toilet is dripping water onto the bathroom floor."
"Indeed," said Holmes, getting up and heading for the kitchen. "Are you sure?"
"Yes, it's definitely leaking."
"Is it now?" said Holmes, grabbing some food coloring and heading for the loo.
"That's the jaunt."
Entering, Holmes noted the puddle. Lifting the tank lid, he poured in some food coloring.
"Blotting up the moisture on the floor," he said.
"Let's give it some time, old chap." And they left.
Later, Holmes noted the puddle was back.
"And it was clear water with no color.
Just condensation," he concluded.
"I see," said Watson. "If it were leaking, we'd see color, correct?"
"Indeed," said Holmes. "However, the flappable inside the tank is leaking."
"How can you tell, old chap?" asked Watson.
"Color in the bowl signifies a slow internal leak."
"Clever," said Watson.
"Elementary," said Holmes.
For more tips, visit our website at onthehouse.com, won't you?
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. About 18 minutes left in the show tonight. These guys are a hoot. These Republicans and some less than inspiring Democrats are a hoot. Think about it. There's hardworking Delegate Linda Sumner introducing bills that will encourage the incidence of drunk driving in West Virginia. Of course, she never thought about that. It just looked like it'd play real good with the religion industry people back home. And you got Delegate Staton introducing his tongue-splitting bill that only doctors can perform tongue-splitting in West Virginia. And now that doctors can advertise, you can see it coming from a mile away. Tongue-splitting done cheap. But, of course, remember, we've got a bill that says basically if the doc butchers your tongue through his negligence, not yours, his, you can't sue him. And then there's the Lacey Peterson bill. Now, let's see, mommy who might be pregnant with a little blob of tissue inside her gets rear-ended in a wreck. And now that lawyers can advertise, see it coming? Yeah, baby, like a freight train from a mile away in the dark. Has your fetus been injured in an accident? Call Schmuck and Schmuck, attorneys at law. And see, the plaintiffs are going to have to win because it's a negligence issue, not an intent issue. It's a negligence issue, and the legislature is making a finding that that little blob of tissue is a people. Act in haste, repent in leisure. Thanks, Republicans. You just drove frivolous lawsuits. No, it can't be frivolous. That is a real live thinking. Well, it's not thinking. The feeling. Well, no, it's not feeling. That's a real live human being. Pay up, insurance company. Oh, the insurance companies are going to love you guys for this one. They're going to love you. Oh, there's all kinds of people going to figure out what a bunch of morons Republicans are by the end of this session. But then again, we figure it out at the end, by the end of every session.
And then somebody returns Linda Sumner to the State House. Ouch. It makes my head hurt. Let's go back to the phones. Gary's with us. Thanks for waiting, Gary.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, I heard you and Wayne talking about some things that are rather disturbing about torture and, you know, giving people the old broomstick treatment and all that. And, you know, I'm a right-winger.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'm totally, totally against that type of treatment on the grounds that it's totally unconstitutional.
Got to get a snare drum in here, Gary. You're a sad, sick man.
You laughed at it.
Oh, I loved it.
You brought up this thing with the neighborhood and things like that. And, you know, in this area here, one of the problems we have, we don't have neighborhoods that much because we're just not geared toward them.
We've been sprawled out of them.
We've been sprawled out of them, and they don't build sidewalks. And a pedestrian is just basically, he's worse than a third-class citizen around here.
Oh, he's a target. He's neat.
I was going around the corner the other day, and I looked up, and there's a mailman on foot out in the road.
Right.
And he was just taking his life into his own hands, but there's no sidewalk for the guy to walk on. And I think it's one of our great drawbacks here. And as a person who's lived in other areas, as I know you have, there's places that do a heck of a lot better about providing for pedestrians than we do around here.
Well, can I take this to its logical extreme, Gary?
Okay.
You want to know why there aren't? I'll tell you why there aren't. The coal companies never saw any need for them.
Well, I mean, I think you might have a point there, but there's more and more people on foot every day. It just becomes more expensive to drive every day. Insurance goes up. The cost of cars goes up.
Yep.
If you get up on that walking trail, the new one, you'd be surprised how many people up there you see that are using that to go to work.
That's great.
Well, it is great.
You know, it's a wonderful use of infrastructure money. The last summer when my family and I went up to visit friends in Pittsburgh, that beautiful mass transit system they have. You know, you're way the hell and gone out of Pittsburgh. You hop on the little electric train, and the next thing you know, you're right there at the juncture of the Monongahela and the Allegheny.
Yeah. Well, it used to be at one time here in Bethel, we had a pretty good mass transit system. I mean, for a dime, you could go anywhere.
Yeah, but that's communism.
Well, it actually was a private bus line. It was Questionberry Bus Lines, as I remember.
Oh, okay.
But we've just got a forgotten segment of society, and
Wait, you mean the private sector couldn't make it go?
Well, all I know is they went out of business. They were in business for a long time.
I rest my case.
Well, I don't want to argue with you on that. I mean, we got so many things we can argue on, but I mean,
to hear it, and I'm sort of conflicted about this housing development on the gorge.
Oh, I don't want that at all.
I mean, how many millions of dollars comes in here because people like to go down the river and pretend that they're as far from civilization as they can get? Look, Marge, there's the gated community.
Yeah. Well, not only that.
Wonder if they'll be able to have a neighborhood tavern, or is Linda Sumner hard at work on that?
Not only what you say, Bob, but look at the idea of being. You said Fayetteville's got how many people in it, like 1,600 or something like that?
I'm not sure. I know that they're talking about building more houses along the lip of the gorge than exist in Fayetteville right now.
I mean, that's a pretty profound thing. You come into an area, and they will more or less just take over the area. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, but you can't go there. It's a gated community.
Yeah, but their influence on this area, I'm sure, will be great. And I'm not all that comfortable with that. It's really taking the local control away from local people. It's kind of a cultural phenomenon. We have so many people moving so many places, doing so many things. We're losing our flavor.
Yeah, and that's not exactly pro-family values, is it?
No, it's not pro-family values. And, of course, I don't see anything nowadays that is pro-family values with regards to corporate America.
No, I know. Yeah. Hey, Granny, you're 71. Off to the nursing home. We want your house.
That's one thing, and plus so many others. Well, it's just you were talking about they used to have a local corner drugstore, used to have a local corner grocery store, and this and that. Well, you know, Walmart's taking care of that for us.
Right.
And
if Walmart doesn't sell it, you by God don't need it.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I had a friend of mine here just a few weeks ago, went and bought a set of tires at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And she took a trip, and one of them blew out on her up around Columbus, Ohio. She was in Walmart for something like 6 hours trying to get those people to make good on that tire. And it's just like they treat her like she was crap, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I mean, you got to remember, it's Walmart. They throw nickels around like manhole covers.
Yeah. But they would not. I mean, they just delayed her, held her up, and they, you know, this is the type of treatment you get when you get a monopoly.
Yeah, it is.
And people don't, I just don't think, don't realize that.
And yet, if we try to craft laws, Gary, that hold somebody like Walmart's feet to the fire and make them treat human beings like human beings, my God, every Republican from home to Nome will scream that it's business unfriendly.
It's not just Republicans, though, Bob. I mean, all these.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, you know, this Michael Chertoff creep got confirmed by the Senate 98 to nothing yesterday. It's not just the Republicans.
Yeah, it's not. Especially you look at a place like West Virginia, where they were bought and sold 100 years ago. And
oh,
things
sure.
haven't changed. It's just like you bring up these stupid bills they've got coming up. And there's so many things that they could be working on. You take a look at the pension system they've got set up for all these employees of the state. The people that crafted that ought to be in jail.
Well, or how about the people that allowed it to go unfunded for as long as it did?
Well, I know, but we don't have any leadership unless, you know, you want to talk about tongue splitting or, you know, having a neighborhood bar too close to a church or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah, but again, a little bit ago I mentioned, you know, there are bills out there that you can get behind 100% and risk no political capital whatsoever and go home to the mouth breathers and say, I'm standing up for you.
Well, isn't that really what it's all about?
Unfortunately, it is.
I think in some ways our system has evolved in a way that maybe the founders didn't foresee, because it's become a system of nothing but sheer self-interest. I mean, the idea, I believe, is when you get elected to go up there, stay as long as you can so you can get as big a pension as you can, you know, get in on as much graft as you can, and then, you know, you retire. That's more or less how it works from my standpoint.
Well, I think you're right in large part. But you got to understand, the founders were the founders of this country were part of something called, I believe, the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's why you've got all these deists like Washington and Adams and Jefferson and Madison who wanted to found a country not based on some antiquated religious terror from Europe, but instead wanted to found it on enlightened self-interest. The key being enlightenment, because if you're doing things because they're going to be good for you and good for your community, you're not going to need some religion telling you to throw a shilling in the plate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But you're putting a lot on the table here. They were remarkably
enlightened.
Enlightened men who were concerned about people who were of lesser station than them.
You know, they were basing this on Hobbes and Locke. And what, maybe Hume, and...
But we don't seem to have those kind of people anymore. It's an oligarchy that, more or less, it's just self-interest rules.
Oh, we get one every now and then, and he dies in a plane crash, I think, of Paul Wellstone.
Well, I think you've got a point there, but there's something else to be said about that. I was listening to something interesting today on the radio about this idea of a law of separation between church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was not an original idea in the Constitution. That was something put forth by a man by the name of Hugo Black, Supreme Court Justice.
Well, he's one of the ones that coined it.
Well, one of the interesting things about Hugo Black, and I hate to bring this up because
I know
you might
Hugo.
Get mad at me. He was an ex-Klansman, and after he was an ex-Klansman, he was a Klan lawyer for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That just kind of colors things.
Oh, I think they've got a statue to him down at the University of Alabama Law School. He was an alum, you know.
Well, he was a Supreme Court justice.
Yes, he was. That we shall erect a wall between church and state is actually contained in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is. Now,
I don't think it was really... I don't think they intended... What they intended was first not to have a state church like they do in Europe. And, you know, they still have it to this very day.
To one extent or another.
Yeah, to one extent or another.
The French Revolution kind of put paid to it in France.
Well, I mean, like in England, I mean, it's the Anglican Church. I mean, state churches do still exist.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I mean, but their influence is probably not that great.
Well, that plus the fact that, again, we talk about the Wild West. One of the great wild times of American history is the time of the founding. Because they had gotten away from the evils of Puritanism and all of that religious zealotry and hate, and they had gotten themselves a little commercial society set up that wasn't all eaten up in religion.
Yeah.
And every idea that comes out of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution is born out of that level of enlightenment. And they assumed that they would have they would create a society that would go on being enlightened. And brother, were they wrong. Gary, I've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to hit one more phone call. Thanks so much, man. You always bring so much. Let's see, Michelle.
Hey.
Hey.
Speaking of Pittsburgh and public transportation, we need some more. We need some inclines here, don't you think?
Not a bad idea.
I love inclines.
I'd like an incline in the. Well, I don't know how environmentally friendly it would be, but an incline in the gorge might not be.
Inclines are great. I mean, you know, what do they bother?
Of course, we've got one over at Hawk's Nest of sorts.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a cable. You know, one of those cable buggies that goes from Hawk's Nest Lodge down to the gorge bottom.
Well, I called to say thank you because of the conversation. Well, you let me vent the other night about the prescription, the doctors prescribing Motrin.
Right.
And you gave the boost to my confidence that I needed to actually have a frank conversation with my medical provider about pain management.
Absolutely.
And everything worked out.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, and when you... when we walk into a doctor's office, Michelle, we are very often
cowed into submission about asking him for anything, and I was just taking what he prescribed, and it wasn't working. And the confidence that you gave me led me to have a good conversation with him. And
well, bless your heart, that makes it all worthwhile.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful, and I wanted to thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Anytime we can help. And, you know, you brought a great issue to the table, and, you know, it sort of carries on in one form or another, you know, when we start talking about letting doctors split tongues.
Oh, what is that all about?
We're out of time. You'll have to find out. I'm sure I'll be beating this little drum for a couple of more nights.
All righty.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's pretty silly. Take care, Michelle. All right, that's it. Thanks so much to everybody. You make it a whole lot of fun. And my apologies to your Aunt Neil for any misunderstanding. I always enjoy his calls. And thanks to Jim and Chris and Ben, your Aunt Neil again, Wayne, Gary, Michelle there. This is wonderful stuff that you do. The show, of course, tonight produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. And remember, you can always catch the archives of the show at whiterosesociety.org. We appreciate it. Hey, Agnes.